Welcome. I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. This is a podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians. Today is episode 417, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. Let's read our passage. However, not everyone has this knowledge. Some have been so used to idolatry up until now that when they eat food sacrificed to an idol, their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We're not worse off if we don't eat, and we're not better off if we do eat. But be careful that this right of yours in no way becomes a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you, the one who has knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, won't his weak conscience be encouraged to eat food offered to idols? So the weak person, the brother or sister for whom Christ died, is ruined by your knowledge. Now, when you sin like this against brothers and sisters and wound their weak conscience, you're sinning against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother or sister to fall, I will never eat meat, so that I won't cause my brother or sister to fall. This is Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. He had founded the church about 5 years earlier on his second missionary journey. This is his third missionary journey. He's in Ephesus, writing this letter to the church in Corinth. He's heard some disturbing things about the church, about the factions and divisions in the church. He's received a letter from them asking questions. And he's also heard some other reports from the men that are with him who are from Corinth. So he's writing this letter of correction. And he's in this section talking about the questions that they had asked. They'd ask a question about marriage, and he dealt with that all through chapter 7. Now in chapter 8, he's dealing with this whole issue of food sacrificed to idols. The issue seems to be that some of the people in the Corinthian church, they say, okay, we're followers of Christ now. Idols don't mean anything. Idols aren't real. There's no real deities that these idols represent. Therefore, whatever we do around these idols, temples, it doesn't matter. And food is morally neutral. So what we eat and where we eat is morally neutral. If we go to the temple of the pagan god where they're sacrificing this food to idols, we don't believe any of that. We're just there for the food and have a good time with our friends. What's the big deal? It doesn't matter. We don't believe that. And Paul began all this with the concept of, before we even talk about that, let's talk about the idea of love versus knowledge. Because part of their argument is knowledge. We know about idols. We know the truth behind idols. We're followers of Christ now. And we know about food. We have knowledge. And Paul's response is, love is more important than knowledge. Not that knowledge isn't important, but love is more important. So he continues his argument here. Not everyone has this knowledge. Okay, what knowledge? The knowledge of the truth about idols and the truth about food. Now, when Paul was having the discussion about the idols themselves, he didn't say idols are not real. He agreed with them. Idols do not represent real deities, but idols are real things. And they weren't saying they weren't real things. But as far as their degree of inconsequence, what matters is what people think about these idols. And that matters greatly. And so when he says not everybody has this knowledge, some people aren't so sure that idols are nothing, and we need to worry about them. He said some have been so used to idolatry up until now that when they eat food sacrificed to an idol, their conscience, being weak, is defiled. So for you super spiritual types in Corinth who are absolutely certain that idol worship means nothing, okay, you're actually right there to a degree. But there are others who, they've been doing this their whole lives, and when that sacrifice is offered to the idol representing the pagan deity, something inside them kind of has an understanding that this is real. I don't follow that anymore, but this is real, and that's a problem. So for them to go and participate in this idol worship, they're actually participating in it by being there, participating in the feast. It's a problem. Verse 8, he says, food will not bring us close to God. We're not worse off if we don't eat, and we're not better off if we do eat. He's actually agreeing with them. Food is morally neutral. They are free to eat this food. This food will not make them far from God. This food won't bring them close to God. So what we eat or don't eat has no relationship as far as the food itself on our relationship with God. They are correct. The food is morally neutral. Now where the rubber meets the road, verse 9. But be careful that this right of yours in no way becomes a stumbling block to the weak. So do they have the right to eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols? Well, yeah, they have the right. They have the freedom in Christ to do that. They were not given a command, do not eat meat sacrificed to idols. So they have the right to do this. But the issue here, particularly when we start talking about love, is more important than knowledge. Be careful that you're exercising this right doesn't cause a problem with the faith of others that he calls the weak. Verse 10, for if someone sees you, the one who has knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, won't his weak conscience be encouraged to eat food offered to idols? And your response may be, well, so what? We've already agreed that doesn't mean anything. Well, it doesn't mean anything to you, but if it means something to them, and because you're doing it, and you're so more spiritual than they are, and they go along with you, but they're not so sure that they're not doing something that actually is idol worship, you're dragging them actually back into idolatry. So be careful what you're doing here and how it affects others. Verse 11, so the weak person, the brother or sister for whom Christ died, is ruined by your knowledge. Now, by your knowledge, he's talking about the fact you know idols don't mean anything. You know food's morally neutral. So by exercising your freedom in Christ, are you not pushing this person really back into idolatry? So he says, ruined by your knowledge. Now, verse 12, this is strong language. Now, when you sin like this against brothers and sisters and wound their weak conscience, you're sinning against Christ. What he says here, said it very clearly, if you do this, you are committing a sin against these people who have weak faith, and a sin against Christ. The issue here is back to when he talked about the difference between knowledge and love. Love builds up, where knowledge puffs up. Knowledge often causes us to be selfish and self-centered and worry about ourselves, where love causes us to worry about others. And if I'm so hard pressed that I will exercise my freedom regardless of other people, that's incredibly selfish. That is sinful. Sin against the other person and a sin against Christ. Paul sums it up here. Therefore, if food causes my brother or sister to fall, I will never eat meat, so I won't cause my brother or sister to fall. Now, here he's just bringing up the principle that I will voluntarily restrict my freedom out of love for other people. Now, this particular situation here, it would be hard to find a similar situation in our culture because these are people who lived in an idolatrous society, were participating in idol worship and these feasts to the pagan deities as just part of normal life. And then they come to Christ, and it is an absolute shift in worldview and thinking. And the problem here is the people who are exercising their freedom because they want to go have a meal at the pagan temple has an influence on these others who are just fresh out of this idolatrous living. And your doing this can actually cause a problem with them. He's not just talking about offending someone. He's not saying, well, don't do something because it might offend someone. There's some other places. Chapter 10, he'll actually talk about that. Be careful not to offend people. But the situation here is actually living out your freedom in such a way it is damaging somebody's faith, actually damaging their faith. And that's the epitome of selfishness of, well, I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm free to do it. And if it damages somebody else's faith, well, that's their problem. They should know better. They should get knowledge like I have knowledge. And so that's the issue here. That's why he talked about the issue of love trumps knowledge. If you really love people, then you're going to behave in such a way that it helps people and builds people up. You maybe certain things you don't do, even though you could do it, but you don't do it because it's going to have a negative effect on others. Here he says the food is morally neutral. That's about the knowledge. But my actions affect others. That's all about love. So he's not done with this situation. He's going to talk some more about his freedom as an apostle and continue this all the way through the end of chapter 10. But the principle here is you may have freedom to do something, but if your freedom is going to actually damage someone's faith, then you are committing sin by exercising that freedom and sinning against that person and sinning against Christ. The broader category is just be careful because your conduct does affect other people. And the principle of love means I need to take that into account how I do, how it affects others. Thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through 1 Corinthians.